The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said, 'What is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward.' The steward said to himself, 'What shall I do now that my master is taking the position of steward away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do so that when I am removed from the stewardship, they may welcome me into their homes.' So he called his master's debtors one by one. To the first he said, 'How much do you owe my master?' He replied, 100 measures of olive oil.' He said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Sit down and quickly write one for 50. Then to another, the steward said, 'And you, how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 cores of wheat. The steward said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Write one for 80. And the master commended that dishonest steward for acting prudently. For the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. I tell you, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. The person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great ones. And the person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in great ones. If, therefore, you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? If you are not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who will give you what is yours? No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Once again, welcome back, everybody, to everybody. And with a little thought for you now, just to help you get through the week. Most people think that Jesus taught in parables to make everything clear. But that's not true. Jesus didn't teach in parables to make everything clear. Jesus taught in parables to make everybody think. Because in almost every parable, there's something that doesn't make any sense. Almost every parable, there's something someone does in that parable that nobody would actually do in real life. You can call it a twist in the parable. And Jesus uses that twist to make his point. The parables used to send people home scratching their heads, wondering what Jesus meant. And in the process of thinking about the parable, what? They would come to a new understanding of something about the kingdom of God that they've never realized before. Now, most parables we're so familiar with that we miss the twist. Give you a little example. For example, have you ever heard that little parable of Jesus where he says, "What shepherd among you would not leave the 99 in the wasteland and go in search of the one sheep who's lost?" You ever heard that before? Hopefully, yes, yes. The answer to that is that no shepherd would leave 99 sheep unattended and go in search of the one. It's a twist. Usually we're so familiar with a parable that we miss the twist, but not this week. Not this week. The parable of the unjust steward that I just got finished reading, one of the most bewildering parables that Jesus ever spoke. The twist is patently obvious. And you know what the advantage of this parable is? Because the twist is so obvious, you get to hear this parable with the freshness of the original audience, okay? But I promise I'm going to help you with this parable. I'm going to give you right now three takeaways from the parable of the unjust steward, and we're going to begin with a little recap of the parable, okay? So the unjust steward, a fumbling, bumbling, mumbling, stumbling, incompetent manager who's bleeding cash left and right. He's going to lose his job. Master says, I'm sick of you. You can't be my steward anymore. And then to make a softer landing for himself, to fabricate for himself a golden parachute, so to speak, goes around to all of his master's debtors, and he has them falsify their promissory notes, effectively stealing from his employer. Now, here's the twist. Any ordinary employer would have that guy thrown in jail for what he did, but not this employer, not this master. Oh no. Jesus says it right here. He commends him for his prudence. And then, this bewildering statement, Jesus says, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you may be welcomed into eternal dwellings, and you go home scratching your heads and thinking, what the heck does that mean? Okay. Two characters in the story, two characters. The master and the steward, two main characters. Who do you think the master represents? Who do you think the master in the story represents? The answer is God. Good for you. You got it right. Okay. Now, who's the steward? Who does the unjust steward represent? And here's the shock. The unjust steward is you. The unjust steward is me. Because what's a steward? A steward is someone who trades in other people's stuff. A steward is someone who makes deals with stuff that's not his own. Now, question. Is there any master anywhere in all the world who would praise you for giving away his stuff? And the answer is yes. It's exactly the way God treats us. And here's your first takeaway from the parable. Learn to think of yourself as a steward of God's stuff. All this stuff in your life, you think it's your own. It's not your own. You know, you think your time is your own. You get angry. You say, somebody, you're wasting my time. It's my time, and I'm going to use my time. However, it's not your time. It's God's time. Your life. Remember once I was visiting a woman who was dying. She had a few weeks left to live. I was giving her communion, anointing of the sick. I asked her how she's feeling. She says, I'm doing okay. I said, how's that? She says, because it's not my life. It's God's life. He can take it back whenever he wants. I said, now that's wisdom. Do we think that way? We say to ourselves, it's my life. I'll do what I want with my life. It's not your life. It's God's life. Your skills, your talents, your abilities, all your money, all of it. It's all God's. And you want to know the proof of that? Proof of that is that you have to surrender it all in death. It was never yours to begin with. And the older you get, the more you begin to realize, none of this stuff is mine, because sometimes God starts taking stuff back while you're still alive, right? While you're still alive. It was never yours. There's one thing that's yours, and one thing only, your free will. And all the consequences of your choices, those will follow you past death. Those ones you can take with you. And just as an aside, it's the essence of sin to treat God's stuff like it's your own. I mean, for example, God gave you the gift of speech. What are you going to do with that speech? It's amazing. Some people, they'll line up for communion, and then before they're out of the parking lot, they'll take that same tongue that just touched Christ in Holy Communion, and they'll stab it into their family members or their neighbors like it's a dagger. What are you going to do with the gift of your sight? God gave you the gift of sight. It's not yours, it's his. What are you going to look at? What do you allow yourself to look at when you can turn on the computer screen, for example? None of it's yours. Now, The world says, take all this stuff that you've got and use it for you. And Jesus says the opposite. He says, take all this stuff that you've got and give it away. Give it away for the good of others. And that's the second takeaway from the parable of the unjust steward. What God's given you, he gave you to give away. And he's got this bewildering statement here. Make friends with yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, they'll welcome you to eternal dwellings. What the heck is dishonest wealth? Well, let me answer that question by asking you a question here this morning. Okay, question for you. Would you say that you've used all of God's stuff in accordance with God's will at all times? Or have you used God's stuff for your own will sometimes? All the time God's given you. Would you say you've used all of your hours and all of your minutes to do exactly what Jesus would ask of you at every moment? Or have you used that time rather for yourself and for whatever you feel like doing? All your money. Have you given away to those who are in need, for those who don't have enough? Shared what you had for those who don't have any sufficient goods in this world? Or, I don't know, have you padded your nest and made things comfortable? You see, I could go on and on with those examples, and I think you get the point. All of us have misused God's stuff. We've all been selfish. This is what we call dishonest wealth. Profit. Advantage. There's a reason why we've been selfish with our lives, right? There's a certain profit motive to it. Now, here's Jesus telling you, don't look back. Look forward. Wherever you are, take what you have and start using it for the good of other people. It's only one time in your life you want to take your faults and look backwards, and that's when you're preparing to go to confession. And you think back on all the things you've done wrong, and you say them in confession, and you leave them there, and they're in the past. And the only other time you ever want to look back is for the wisdom that you've learned from past mistakes. But other than that, please, don't waste your life looking backwards at your mistakes. People do this all the time. Can't tell you how many parents come to me and say, well, you know, Father, I'm not sure I did such a great job raising my kids. Maybe I was a little bit selfish. Maybe I was a little bit lax and easy. Now I feel so bad. Don't look back. Don't look back. Look forward. Because whatever you've done, and I mean whatever you've done, at this very moment, right where you are in a perfect place to do exactly what God wants of you to do. Exactly what he wants you to do. And this brings me to my third point. Now that we know this, we have to act. The master here, it's really funny. He says he commends the steward for his prudence. Now notice, he doesn't commend him for his dishonesty. He's not praising that. What does he praise the steward for? He praises him for his prudence. He praises him for acting. Now, you want God to praise you? At the hour of your judgment, in spite of the decisions you've made, take the good that you've heard from the Word of God and start acting on it, and start right now. Because we always act when we think something's important, don't we? Always. You ever, driven down the road in your car, and you've had that experience where your heart skips a beat because you look at your dashboard and an indicator light comes on and it says, service engine soon. Heart skips a beat. Oh, gosh, I got to go. What's wrong? Can I keep driving? Can I finish the trip? I better have the mechanic look at this. What do you do when you recognize there's a problem? You act on it. Or how about you get your credit card receipt, right? You look at your expenses and you say, hey, wait a minute. That doesn't make any sense. You realize there's somebody somewhere used your credit card to book a flight to Vegas. And you say, wait a minute, I got to call the credit card company. I got to make sure they're going to stop this fraudulent charge. When you recognize a fault, when there's an emergency, you act on it, right? In everything except the spiritual life, for some reason. People, when they recognize a spiritual need, people always say, well, you know, God is merciful and that kind of thing takes care of itself. No, it doesn't. God gave you responsibility. You're supposed to act on it. Imagine if we treated our car the same way we treat God. Service engine soon, indicator light comes on. We say to ourselves, well, all these things, they take care of themselves. Right. Imagine if you treated your credit card the same way you treat God. Fraudulent charge, somebody booked a trip to Vegas. Well, these things take care of themselves. Maybe he'll Maybe he'll let me overcome with honesty and stop wasting my money. No, you act on it. Don't worry about your past. Just begin. A little story to illustrate that. Back in the years before the American Revolution, we're talking 1770-something, 1760-something, there was an Englishman, a ship's captain, and his name was John Newton. John Newton made a fortune in the slave trade. He brought slaves, human cargo, from Africa to Barbados. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, selling human beings for profit, and he thought nothing of it. He just kept on going and going. Until one day, out on the high seas, something happened to him. You can call it an epiphany, you can call it an enlightenment, you can call it a sudden I don't know what, but something happened to him, and he realized all at once, wait a minute, this is wrong. I can't keep doing this. And he stopped the boat right there in the middle of the high seas, did a U-turn, went back to his point of departure, and set all the captives free, consequences be damned. Now, you may have never heard of John Newton before, but you have heard of the song that he wrote in commemoration of that event, Amazing Grace. Amazing grace, how sweet that sound that saved a wretch like me. That's the spirit of the unjust steward. Don't look back. Look forward, make good, and begin today. Because you know what? We too have a stewardship that's going to come to an end. And God's going to ask, what did you do with my stuff? It's why I'm so fond of saying, if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Amen.